The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. The feast of the dedication was taking place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus walked about in the temple area on the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it sounds, when Jesus talked about being the good shepherd, when he talks about being the shepherd, it's, I don't know, I think we abstract Jesus from his context, and so it sounds very pretty, it sounds nice, and of course, all we have a couple thousand years of kitsch art of the... with the Good Shepherd. No, I don't, some of it's not, of course. The catacombs I would never call kitsch, never. But some of the more recent images of Jesus as the Good Shepherd are, I don't know, not exactly, not ex- not don't exactly hit the mark. But so what's going on? I mean, so let me give some kind of context we understand, so we can understand this. The Feast of the Dedication, right? It's Hanukkah. That's what's going on. And it's probably about 200 years previous that Judas Maccabeus launches his, previous to this, that Judas Maccabeus launches his rebel movement to take back Jerusalem and so Israel for the Jewish people. And when he rededicates the temple, this is the Feast of Dedication, when he rededicates the temple, then this is, say, what's kept as a yearly observance, and so there's great pride in that, right? But there's also here, in the mix, as it were, when Judas Maccabeus's line is over, it happens quite quickly. I mean, his family is ruling for 100 years or so, and then it goes to Herod the Great. And Herod the Great marries, he marries, not that he's marrying into Judas Maccabeus' family, but he marries one of, say, the descendants, a princess in the line. So all of this is kind of in the mix, not right. Shepherd is really about king, right? It's about the Messiah. So this is like what's all going on in the background. When Judas Maccabeus cleanses and rededicates the temple. I mean, this is as close to, you know, King David as you can get, right? David and then Solomon builds the temple, and also then is, say, firmly established as ruler over God's people as a result. So we've got Judas Maccabeus, but then you have you have Herod the Great, and then his family thereafter seeking to rebuild the temple. So it's all like, this is kingship stuff that's going on. And so when Jesus, when he's then in the temple, you hear this kind of, he's in the temple. He's walking around on the portico of Solomon, right? He's in the temple, and you're going, ooh, something's stirring here, especially at this feast, with the consecration of the temple that points to kingship. And then he's talking about being a shepherd. Right there, and this. So then, it's not as though he's again. This is like he's got a blank slate, and he's writing this. Like, you know, I have a good image for them. Maybe if I liken myself to shepherd, then they will understand that. No, it's not what's going on. It's a kingship image. He's doing that, and he's not doing against a plain backdrop either. Right? He's going out to contend with the false shepherds of his day. And that one of them, at least, is powerful enough to be rebuilding the temple and known to be the ruler, in fact, vying for that title, the King of the Jews. So this is not, I don't know, it's not a pretty scene, it's not without danger. And Jesus walking right into it. So I think if we don't catch that, then I don't know, the voice of the shepherd perhaps is not as compelling. Because he's walking into that mess of a situation. He's walking into the danger by virtue of the fact that he is claiming to be the shepherd. And he's saying, I am living this life as shepherd for the sheep. And you can see the agendas of the day are for the person who's pursuing them. They're not for the people who are meant to be served by the rule of God's king. So this is all of that is going on here. But I think there's more too, right? Because again, we're hearing it. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now he's just, let's say, I don't know how many verses it is, but perhaps a chapter or so before this, he's healed the man born blind. And if you look at the questioning of Jesus, the people who are gathered around him in this scene and asking him, how long are you going to keep us in suspense, right? Because they know what's going on. They're in the temple at the Feast of Hanukkah, and they know it's all about kingship, and Jesus is kind of talking about that, right? Is how long are you going to keep us in suspense? Right, just come out and say it. If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. Because they want, of course, he pulls the trigger, and then they know what to do. I'm the Christ. Okay, now everybody goes crazy, right? They go on their purification movement, and they start, you know, going after that one. You know, judgment is on you, and all the rest, right? They start their purification, whatever it is at that point. But it's not what Jesus, it's not the Jesus movement. They just want to get wound up on their own movement, right? So you're the Christ. Again, we'll carry you off and make you king. It's like, but he has to rewrite even the concept of king, the concept of power is he's rewriting around himself. But the man born blind, not so. Now you might remember that. You might remember that character. I won't dig too far into it, but it's really quite powerful because he faces the crowd. He faces accusation as well as a result of his being healed by Jesus. But that's it. He's just a man who's been healed by Jesus. But he offers the powerful testimony of his life. He won't back down from his questioners and the accusers. He's just going to stand firm. Why? Because he's heard the voice of the shepherd. And that's it for him. And he's heard the voice of the shepherd. He's followed him. He's found participation in the life of God, which is eternal life. He's been reborn, right? And he's attached now to the Good Shepherd. And this is a man who's, you know, without the background, without the lengthy studies, without the power positions and all the rest of the people who are accusing him. It doesn't matter. He won't back down. And how distinct this is, right? They can't see. They can't see that Jesus is the Christ. They can't see that he's the Good Shepherd, but the man born blind can. So this is, you know, where are we in this? Where do we find ourselves in this? Are we people like the man born blind who are desperate for new life, full life, abundant life that the shepherd offers? Or are we still approaching our lives as something that's my own construct? I have to push the agenda, and my agenda is this, that, and the other. And of course, I'd like Jesus' help with it, but it's my agenda, and I know because I know what's best. Right? We pushing that, and we're waiting for. We want, you know, are you the Christ? Are you the Christ? Show me that you are. And we can't see it. We can't see it because we're wrapped up in our own story, such that we can't see it. We can't hear it. Or we just simply we don't have anything to offer. We're desperate. We're desperate for Jesus, and that's it. And so, in fact, we hear him. We hear his voice. And in hearing his voice, we have this sense of, I don't know if it's relief or resolution, that, or just resonates with us. We just say, ah, yeah, I need to live under the rule of King Jesus, of Christ Jesus. He is the Christ. He doesn't have to say it. If he said any more words to these people, it wouldn't make a difference. It wouldn't make a difference because they're stuck in their own world. So are we going to be stuck in our own world? Or we'd want to be in the world with Jesus at the very center? And it makes all the difference. But it makes all the difference in life. And we're being called to it, right? And what great promises we have. No one can take them out of the Father's hand. If we respond to the call of Christ, if we give ourselves to the call of the shepherd as his sheep, then we are safe and secure in him. There's nothing at all that can touch us. We just have to keep hearing his voice, hearing his summons, and going on up ahead, following his call, living his life of self-gift, living his life of love, no matter what we encounter. It doesn't matter. He's stronger than all. Right? We hear later on in the gospel, he has overcome the world. He's overcome the world. So it's in this, he's made safe passage for us. There's only one safe passage. And it's in hearing and then responding to the call of the shepherd. He's made safe passage for us. And that safe passage, but to the world, it looks either stupid or dangerous because we're just giving our lives away. Giving our lives away to God, giving our lives away in his service. So maybe it looks dangerous. If you're in that camp looking for a sign, your life is all about you, then it seems too dangerous. And I want signs, I want security, I want the rest. But for those of us who are in the camp who realize that we've got nothing except for the shepherd and his loving call, then safety and security is ours. And we can ponder on that all day. I won't take up any more of your time, but that's it. It's the call of the shepherd. So it's ours today to hear him and to heed his call.